morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Sitting across from me
is Mike Cosentino right here on Democratic Perspective. And we've got a guest this morning.
Yeah, we're very pleased to have David Lujan, who's an Arizona native. He's on so many school boards. It's incredible. And when he spoke at the League of Women Voters a couple of weeks ago in Sedona, people were really impressed with his grasp and knowledge of education issues in Arizona.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a former state representative. I think he served three terms as state representative, one term in the Senate, ran for attorney general. And he's just been active for many, many years. He's now working for a nonprofit that focuses on education and also economic impact, what can be done to improve the economic state of people in Arizona. And we've got somebody on, and there's, I think Mike and I would both agree, there's a concerted plan to deconstruct Arizona education, to destroy public education as part of an ideological kind of stealth campaign that's been going on for decades. And so we need to kind of get out information, folks, and if it seems a little wonky at part, it's because so much of what of the destructive stuff, right, Mark, that they're doing to education is disguised. It's all about choice. It's all about this and that. And what we're not getting is a clear, if you just read the bills and stuff, you don't get a clear impact of where they're going with this. Something that seems pretty benign is actually extremely destructive to the state finances.
Absolutely. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
All right. Like I said, you're coming in a little weak here, so you're going to speak as loud and clearly as you can so our listeners can. You're the guy here, at least this morning. David Lujan's talking to us from Phoenix, Arizona, on Democratic Perspective, and he's certainly impresses me and others on his insight into what's, as Steve just referred to, what's going on in Arizona education. I certainly don't want to compare it to the national debacle political situation, but it is sometimes a little hard to keep up with. So, David, I don't know, man. What's going on with that Arizona education?
Well, I guess I would describe it as when it comes to funding, we're in a big hole in Arizona, and we keep digging deeper in terms of getting ourselves further and further below where we were in the past in terms of education funding. And just between 2008 and 2014, Arizona had the largest cuts in the country to funding for public education, and we've done very little to get us back to even close to 2008 levels.
You say in one of the flyers that was passed out at the League of Women Voters that support for education is about a billion dollars less than it was 10 years ago.
Right. So when those cuts that I mentioned between 2008 and 2014, Arizona cut $1.8 billion from public education. And you hear Governor Ducey and some of the Republicans in the legislature talk about Prop 123 and the money they put back in this last legislative session. Those are funds that have just basically restored about 19% of what has been cut since 2008. So we are still below $1.1 billion below where we were in 2008 in terms of funding. And it's not like in 2008 we were near the top of the country. We were probably 44th in the nation back in 2008, and we've cut so much we're now near at the bottom. So it's a real crisis. It's why we're seeing the worst teacher shortage crisis and other real problems in our public schools today.
You were on the board of the Phoenix Union High School District, and that's a big deal. How do these shortages impact your day-to-day running of a major high school district?
Oh, it impacts it in a number of different ways. So, every area of school operations have been cut. And so, when you hear about people saying frustrations about how the money from Prop 123 didn't necessarily all go to teacher salaries, well, that's because, the schools also had their facilities budget cut. They haven't fully funded school facilities in Arizona since the early 2000s. So, if you're a school principal, you're making a decision between hiring, a teacher or giving teacher raises or fixing the brakes on the school buses. And, when you have over 30% of the school buses last year failed their brake safety inspections. And so principals and school administrators are struggling just to keep things going. And that's the product of year after year of state cuts from the Capitol.
Why is the state and the Republican Party, particularly with a few great exceptions, so dedicated to systematically undercutting and underfunding public education? Because that was public education to Mike and I would seem like the way to, wealth and prosperity for Arizona.
Yes, you would. And in fact, Alliance Bank, the last 2 years, has done a survey of the top 400 CEOs and business leaders in Arizona, asking these business leaders across the state, what do they see as the biggest challenge to doing business in Arizona? And the responses in that survey have basically been education, education, education. What's the number one challenge to doing business in Arizona? Their response was the quality of our public education system. And the number two response was the quality of our workforce. And then they asked, what would be the number one thing you would like to see our state legislature and governor do to improve your business climate? The number one answer was invest in public education. The number two answer was invest in the quality of our workforce. So those two things are obviously related. So your question is, why does the legislature make all of these cuts? And that is because we keep electing a legislature that wants to shrink state government as small as possible. And one of the biggest areas of spending for any state government is public education. And so it's a very much an ideological thing. They will talk about how they want to cut taxes because they want to bring all of these jobs into the state of Arizona. Well, if you talk to the people whose job it is to go to other states and recruit businesses to come to Arizona, many of them will tell you the number one concern they are hearing from those companies and why they don't want to come to Arizona. It's not because our taxes are too high. It's because our quality of our public education system is poor. And so I don't know why the legislature does it, but I think it's a challenge to all voters in Arizona that we need to be electing legislators who are not only going to say they support public education, but are going to back it up by putting some real investments into our public schools.
We're talking to David Lujan, former legislator and education board member and school operator at some point, and he was speaking to the League of Women Voters as an education expert. And in Arizona, it's really hard to understand in 2017. This has been going on a long time. And as you alluded to, the surveys keep showing not only public support for public education, but corporate support time after time after time. So I don't know the Republicans in the state legislature that vote for education, but it seems certainly like this concerted effort to completely dismantle which makes no sense. Which is the lead here, where we're going into is your newest venture, if I can call it a Democratic think tank. So what's going on with David Lujan's Arizona Center for Economic Progress? Did I get the name right?
Right. Yes, you did. I call it a progressive think tank. We are an initiative of Children's Action Alliance, and Children's Action Alliance has been an advocacy organization in Arizona for over 29 years at the state capitol, advocating for children and family issues. And so Children's Action Alliance earlier this year launched the Arizona Center for Economic Progress. And what our work is around is advocating at the state capitol for those policies that are going to create better economic opportunities for all Arizonans. And the reason that we've launched this is because although there are parts of Arizona's economy that are doing well right now, there are a lot of Arizonans that are struggling. And to give you a couple examples, 1 in 4 Arizona children live in poverty. 1 in 4 Arizona children live in poverty. Median families' income in Arizona has dropped by $7,000 since 2009. And so there's a lot of people out there that are struggling, and we, our Arizona Center, is going out there advocating for what are the things we should be doing to create better economic opportunities for all, not just for a few, but for all. And so it's things like investing in public education, making post-secondary education more affordable, having better affordable housing, investing in infrastructure. So for years, our one go-to economic strategy in Arizona has been to cut taxes. We've cut taxes in Arizona every single year since 1990. And I, besides being in the legislature, I worked on staff at the legislature many years, pretty much going back to 1990. And I mean, I can tell you every proponent of those tax cuts, when they passed those tax cuts, said, well, this tax cut is going to bring in thousands of new jobs and attract many new companies to Arizona. Well, no state has cut taxes more consistently than Arizona since 1990. And so if tax cuts worked, we would have the most prosperous economy in the country because we've cut taxes so regularly. But I think a lot of us can see that we're not getting that prosperity that was promised by the tax cuts. And so what our Arizona Center wants to do is look at what are the other things we should be doing to really create better economic opportunities in our state.
Well, yeah, you've been doing the same thing for 27 years, and it hasn't worked. I'm sorry,
right.
And maybe you I can't think of one, not a single tax cut that has brought thousands of jobs. The Republicans, and you know, the definition of insanity, this is an old joke, but you know, you do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. 27 years they've been cutting taxes, and 27 years Arizona education. In fact, that's right about the time, by the way. And I was in the high school classroom in 1990 until 2004, and the college classroom until 2013. But right about in there, when you know the whole Fife Simonton years, is when schools started really going downhill, at least economically. Teachers carried the ball bravely for many, many. You still are, for that matter. You know, if this was a new union state, this is Mike Cosentino's taking over the microphone here, and teachers responded like a union, they wouldn't be doing their jobs until they got some sort of decent wages and some decent benefits. But no, these Arizona teachers go to work every day, work their butts off, do their jobs with dignity and integrity for crap. And as you know, as a board member, the achievement is not as low as the economic support of the state of Arizona reflects, and that's all because of the great teachers.
So there's this tax cutting on and on and on, and it's popular. Everybody goes, "Oh, you get tighter taxes," and the result is a kind of slow destruction of public education, all kinds of services to people who are, you know, less fortunate, and the feeling that that somehow is going to bring wonderful things. And one of the ones I've noticed that in the pamphlet that you passed out at the League of Women Voters, our representatives up here on a series of pro-education bills are 000. Sylvia Allen,
right.
Bob Thorpe,
Brenda Barton.
And Brenda Barton, all zeros. They didn't vote for anything. I wanted to ask you about one of these bills, and that's the, what's it called, Mike? The ESAs? Is that the
school vouchers?
Yes. Let's talk about the school vouchers, because that seems sort of harmless. Like it's all presented, like everything is presented as cutting taxes or increasing choice. And so school vouchers increase choice. What's the impact of them? And they were expanded this last year, right?
Right. Well, I would be especially furious about the passage of this recent school voucher bill, particularly if I lived in a rural area, because the proponents of vouchers will tell you that this is about giving parent school choice. But if you are a parent in a rural area, there are so few private schools, and the amount of money you're going to get in one of these vouchers will probably only pay for about 25% of private school tuition. And so what vouchers really are to give public tax subsidies to mainly parents in urban areas like Phoenix and Tucson to send their kids to religious and other private schools. These are parents that pretty much already could afford to be sending their kids to school. And so what it does is it drains more money from what is really the number one choice of about over 80% of parents in Arizona, and that is traditional public schools.
This corruption has been exposed. And if it hasn't been exposed before by people like me, it's going to be exposed by people like you, that it isn't about choice, this is a smokescreen to allow public funding for private schools, mostly for people that can already afford private schools.
My understanding is there are zero private schools on the reservations who are north and east and of us, that there are almost no private schools there, and in a whole rural Arizona, there are very few private schools. So what's happening is exactly what you're saying. People who actually don't even need the money, there's no means test, are getting subsidies for their kids to go to school, while the money is generally being cut for kids in private, in rural Arizona, who have to send their kids to public schools because there isn't any alternative. So all the talk of choice depends just simply on where you live.
Right, and I would encourage your listeners to go to the Arizona Auditor General's website. They did a report on the school voucher program. You know, it's been around since 2011 in a smaller scale. They did a report a year ago, June 2016, on the voucher program as it's existed to this point, and they found, and it's very small compared to what it's going to grow to, they found several hundred thousand dollars of misspending, fraud, and abuse out of that voucher program. Parents, because you get an ATM card essentially with public tax dollars on that. And they had, I think, over 200 cases of parents trying to withdraw cash from their ATMs and public tax dollars going to buy things like, you know, spending it on dating websites and buying a computer equipment that's not educational. And so this is our big education policy here in Arizona, is to give parents these ATM cards, and we have no real infrastructure to be able to detect the fraud and abuse that goes along with that as well.
This How is much a- supervision is there of these private schools?
No, I mean, remember I talked about earlier how businesses want to see a strong public education system so that we can be developing that workforce of the future. And so what public schools have been doing for years is making sure we have quality certified teachers in every room, making sure we have rigorous curriculum. Well, if you're giving public tax dollars to send kids to religious schools, private schools, there's no accountability. There's no no structure in terms of what they need to be taught. No testing. No ability to see whether we're getting the bang for the buck for those tax dollars. There's really very little accountability. And what we've seen in what has happened from vouchers to this point is we've seen a lot of fraud and abuse from those who have received the money.
Well, yeah, no, it's government by anecdote. You know, you can, everybody's got at least one bad public school story. Speaking of Simonton's name twice in the same show, which is not a good thing. He went around asking people's bad stories on public schools, and sure, everybody had one. A lot of people had one, and using that as a basis for throwing out an entire system is absolute lunacy. When we talk about the crazy Arizona legislature, this is one of the things that.
I was going to. One important point, though, too, is I know I've said our public school system is really struggling, but in terms of, as I think as you mentioned earlier, in terms of the bang for the buck that we're getting from our public school system in terms of the investment. Our public schools had some of the largest gains on the national NAEP, it's called the NAEP test, in, for example, third grade reading and eighth grade math. And so for the little amount of investment they're getting, our public schools are actually doing pretty well in terms of getting kids. You know, we have a long way to go, but they're moving them forward. And imagine what the schools could do if they actually were properly invested in. So I don't want to give the impression that schools aren't doing a good
job. Right.
They actually are, but they could do so much better if they actually had the resources.
Amazingly so. Listen, I want to sort out what happened. I want to sort out the alphabet here that David Lujan is involved with. We got the Children's Action Alliance. Is that correct?
Right.
And Defenders of Children is a part of that, or?
No, Defenders of Children is what a nonprofit advocacy organization that I worked with while I was in the legislature that helps abuse kids, and they still are around doing good work today in Arizona.
I see. Okay. The Children's Action Alliance is, and go ahead and, if you don't mind, to talk a little bit about that.
Yes, Children's Action Alliance has been around for 29 years in Arizona, and they are an advocacy organization that advocates for policies to help kids and families. And, for example, you may recall about a year ago, Arizona was the only state in the country that did not have a children's health insurance program, and we call it here in Arizona Kids Care. And so Children's Action Alliance was the lead organization that really fought to get kids care back in Arizona. And as a result, we have, you know, thousands of kids today that have health insurance that did not have it just 2 years ago.
You and I share a connection to Title I, which is, for want of a better, which is many things, but certainly the federal effort of in all states education, but certainly in the basic skills and reading, writing, and math. Talk a little bit about here it is in 2017. What's the state of this huge, important for Arizona schools as far as funding goes? As the state funding decreases, the Title I funding becomes just more and more important. What's your take on where it is today?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. It's one that all Arizonans should be have their eyes on it. You know, what's going on with Congress and our president, because what they're talking about, what the president has proposed in sort of his budget talks, is to what they call block granting Title I funds to the states. And what that means essentially is right now the federal government gives Title I funds, but they are mandating to schools how they spend it in terms of, if we didn't have Title I funds in Arizona because of all the other cuts, you'd have thousands of kids coming to school every day without meals, without a lot of the resources they need to be able to be successful in the classroom, without a lot of classroom aides and instructors.
Right.
And so what the president has proposed is basically giving states like Arizona, our legislature, the ability to kind of create the own rules as to how the state will use our Title I funds. And so we have seen what happens when we give our legislature that kind of control. That's why for many years, you know, we were the only state that didn't have a children's health insurance program. It's because our state legislature was given the discretion by the feds to be able to not have a program. And so, it would be potentially very, very harmful to our public schools. It would cost millions of dollars in programs like free and reduced lunch for kids that are, you know, many kids, that's the only decent meal they get because, you know, they come from such impoverished backgrounds. And, a lot of after-school programs and other things, it just would really be devastating.
So many things flow through the ESEA Title I funding, especially, like I said, especially in Arizona, as you just alluded to, to see them. Now, they've been threatening block grants, Republicans have, for a long time. However, with this whack job in the White House.
And the Education Department.
It's more, and in the Education Department. it's certainly, you know, nobody, this is like, I used to say, nobody be crazy enough to cut education funding. And you know, but I mean, that's not even a thought anymore. And a lot of people are crazy enough to cut education funding. So nobody be crazy enough to allow the Arizona legislature control of this huge government, federal government, funds. And I say huge because in Arizona, by comparison to state support, it's huge. And but Title I funds come with a lot of rules. The block grants would do away with all the rules. So, I don't want to, this is not,
I think politically, Mike, we've got someone running the Department of Education whose ideology is like some of the most extreme members of the Arizona legislature. So the idea that the feds can kind of balance the local craziness is kind of getting undone.
Right.
But both by the president, Mike, and also by the Betsy DeVos at the education department, who doesn't believe in public schools and seems to be trying to figure out any way she can to undo them.
Yes, absolutely.
David, what, I guess when I, my question is, what can we positively do? I mean, you have the report card on the legislators, and for our legislators up here, it's absolutely terrible. They got zero. They have a zero. The percentage runs from 0 to 100% in terms of supporting different educational initiatives and programs, and they're all zeros. Well, they're all zeros in a lot of ways, but at least on education.
Yeah, and 2018 is a critical year. I mean, it's an election year, so we're going to be electing an all-new legislature and governor. And what I would say to your listeners and what we do and we put out those voting records is we try to connect the dots. And so you'll notice in the voting record that we put out, we're supposedly, we're an agency that cares about children and families in education, but the voting bills that we put in there are tax cuts that have, some people would think have nothing to do with education, but they absolutely do. And so what I would say is when you hear candidates, whether it's legislative or people running for governor, when they say, I am a big supporter of public education and I love public education, but in that same campaign platform, they say, I want to also cut taxes. You can't do both. You can't, cut taxes in Arizona and support public education in terms of properly investing in it. And particularly up in northern Arizona, those three that you mentioned, they got zeros. All three, when they were running, said that they were supporters of public education, but all three have supported the vouchers that we talked about, supported the tax cuts. And that's what's draining the money.
This is
from
important,
our
David. So they lied. You can be as politic as you want, but I can say that in every Pace and Roundup article, in every Verde Independent article, in every Flagstaff Daily Sun article, the representatives that represent LD6 lied. They lied to you about their support to education, and they lie every time they run.
They're still doing it, Mike.
And the people buy it every time. And this is the most frustrating thing, to have Sylvia Allen talk about how much she supports education.
Loves education.
To have Robert Thorpe talk about how much they support. To have Brenda Barton talk about how much they, and then to vote time and time again against it. Bob, people, wake up, please pay attention. One of the things we wanted to do this morning, I'm sorry, go ahead, David.
I was going to say, many of those candidates put on their campaign signs, I support public schools, and then they turn around and go to the state capitol and they vote for these tax cuts, and that is not supporting public schools.
When you interview them, they sound like they support education. People go and talk to Sylvia Allen. It sounds like she supports education. And then you look at her voting record and her ideology, which is, so extreme that she can't support public education, and yet she's still the chair, right, of the education committee in the Senate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's going on in Democratic perspective this morning, and I guess maybe right now would be a good time to take a little moment to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks for their support of Democratic perspective. We want to thank Steve Segner and his crew over at El Portal, the premier boutique hotel in Sedona, and and purveyors of a great breakfast, which we'll be partaking pretty soon, for their support of Democratic perspective.
We'll have an interview with Katie Hobbs next Monday.
Well, Katie Hobbs will be on next Monday running for Secretary of State. She was up speaking to the local Democrats last week.
Extremely smart and intelligent person.
Just cute as a button. If that's anything in elections, then she's in.
It's a matter of intelligence. She's running against Michelle Reagan. I mean, I don't know what you can say because it's not even a left-right thing. It's like competent versus incompetent.
Yeah, there's no race.
Anyway, let's not go on.
R's versus D's. Yeah. So we want to thank these folks for supporting the show. We want to remind everybody that this show and all our shows are available on podcast, vvid.org. One of our points today, we're talking to David Lujan, longtime Democrat from the Phoenix area, and just an all-around good guy that's been doing a lot of great work, great social work, work in education. When I think of public servant, I think of David Lujan like a lot of people. I mean, it's one thing to say, that your Arizona Center for Economic Progress is the Arizona Center for Economic Progress. But, what can you possibly do in it seems like an uphill battle. How are you doing?
It's a lot of it bringing organizations that have not traditionally worked together, working together, talking and saying the same things and the same message. That we have to stop cutting taxes in the state and start investing in our priorities. And so one of the things we're encouraged by is that we've been able to bring organizations in this past few months together that typically haven't worked together to start doing that. And the example we always give is Kansas. The Kansas version of the Kansas Center for Economic Progress launched in 2013, 2 months after their Governor Brownback voted to eliminate their state income tax in what they call the March to Zero. He said, they're going to eliminate taxes, and it's going to be a shot of adrenaline into the arm of the Kansas economy. Sounds familiar? It's drained the Kansas economy. But earlier this summer, the Republican Kansas legislature actually voted to override those tax cuts and are now raising taxes. And a lot of that was led by sort of this Kansas version of the Kansas Center for Economic Progress, building these coalitions and starting to educate voters. They last election cycle knocked out a number of the conservative Republicans who had voted in those tax cuts. And so we're hoping to kind of do that long-term approach here and start to change some of that messaging and just some of the ideology at the state capitol.
Well, can the Arizona Center or David Lujan or somebody just start a campaign. It's not taxes. It's not taxes. It's training. It's job training. It's education. It's not taxes. They lying to you. They lie to you about everything. I mean, when people talk about, I know the Phoenix New Times is not your biggest fan, but it's only because they like downtown people instead. But the idea is that call a lie a lie. And when they're not supporting education, I just wish some Democrats, especially in leadership, would call their lies and damn the consequences. There is no consequence. So what are they going to do? Cut $1 billion out of education? Well, they've already done that. What are they going to do? Start support of private schools? Well, they've already done that. There's nothing left to do to public education. Are you going to do away with teacher requirements? Oh, wait a minute. They've already done that. There's almost nothing left short of shuttering schools, which is happening because they're falling apart.
What I like about what you're doing is somebody has to be honest with the people of Arizona and say, look, you're going to have to pay taxes. Somebody has to say, you have to pay taxes. Taxes is how we have civilization. Taxes are part of the price of having a country. And you're going to have to pay them, and you're never going to like paying them because nobody likes paying them. But you're going to have to do it. And trying to just get out of paying taxes over and over again is damaging the state long term. Somebody has to be straightforward with the people in Arizona and the country and say, look, taxes are not bad. Taxes, you know, can be wasted or they can be spent well, but they're not in themselves bad. They're necessary to having a government in Arizona, the United States, any place in the world.
Here's your chance to make some more enemies, David. Just what you called.
Thanks, Mike.
Just what you called for this. No, I'm serious. We're up here in Podunk and we have all these ideological things and we think you guys should do more. You guys, meaning the Arizona Democratic Party and the people who are running the state, of which you are one of. What Democratic, and I got to, the Republicans are so solid, so good all the time, lockstep, just like other organizations we won't mention, but Democrats, what is there on the Democratic hierarchy? This is the question that's going to get you in trouble. What is there on the Democratic hierarchy of the state of Arizona that is keeping these things being said? Why isn't there something in the Arizona Republic every day? Why isn't there something in Political Insider in the Arizona Capital Times every week about the lies and the disaster of public education?
I don't know. I actually think, you know, I think there's a lot of people that feel like if they talk about raising taxes that they're going to get this automatic pushback from voters. I actually don't think that that's the case. I think, and there's been recent polls that have shown that most Arizonans agree. Nobody likes to pay taxes, but we all feel like we need to be doing our fair share to support the things that are going to help all of us get ahead. And that's, you know, investing in education, investing in roads. And people are getting frustrated. Do you know that two-thirds of the corporations in Arizona do not pay any state taxes? Two-thirds of the corporations pay zero in state taxes.
Yeah, have I seen an Arizona Democrat say that in the Arizona Republic? Has he said that?
No, but it is very frustrating, but I hope that our Democratic candidates for governor are saying that. And that's one of the things we're not a partisan organization in terms of our organization, but, you know, we want all candidates, regardless, to be talking about these things because we need to. We need to raise taxes. There's no other way about it. We are not going to get to where we need to be in this state unless we start raising revenues. We cut taxes year after year, and we're not getting the economic benefits that were promised.
How about this, Dave? David Lujan, how about this? How about the Arizona Center for Economic Progress, your organization becoming the anti-Goldwater Institute? So, I mean, I make this simple for you. You have a secretary, she just looks at what the Goldwater Institute says, and you just say the opposite.
Well, I think we are very much the other voice. That's what we want to be. And there's a lot of voices on that side with the Goldwater Institute. We need more. And on the other side, talking about, you know, what we think are the right choices we should be making.
What do you think, and what does your organization think are the most important things that Arizonans have to confront? If you had a list, you've talked about facing the fact that we have to raise taxes to support public education. What else needs to be done? What should the list look like to improved Arizona, the quality of life for all the people here?
You know, I think a lot of it is around workforce issues. What are the barriers to keeping people from not only working or going back to school and getting the education? A couple of things I would say. One is access to childcare, particularly for, you know, low-income families that, you know, if where one parent or both parents have difficulty getting childcare for their kids. And then another one that we really want to focus on is criminal justice reform. You know, Arizona now invests millions of dollars every year in private prisons that are just focused in making a profit by locking up more people. And what they do a horrible job in terms of rehabilitating and getting people back out into the workforce. And that's a huge issue across the state. And so criminal justice reform and getting, you know, more people the help that they need so that they become protective members of society rather than just being the state that leads the nation in incarcerating people. We need to do a better job there. So those are a couple of things. But there's a number of things. Right.
Well, even middle class people need help with childcare because a lot of them are young and they're not at their, you know, the height of the income. So even if they later in life make quite a bit of money, I think a real stress for people, for younger people is kids and having them in school and getting childcare. I think that stresses everybody up to the very wealthy who can pay for it. But I know, if you're middle class, it's still a real problem to get enough time with your kids and to get them the kind of education and training and skills. I mean, I know parents put a tremendous amount of volunteer time into sports and theater and art, and they have to because there's no other way to do it. But that's, I think, what really is stressing younger people, that and this terrible school debt that a lot of them leave college with.
I want to hear David Lujan and the rest of the Democrats when last June, when PBS did a 3-hour special glorifying Betty DeVos's education agenda. This was like a paid conservative promotion of this disastrous nationwide agenda of which we feel here in Arizona, which gives our license to the whack jobs in Arizona that are cutting education. Venerable liberal PBS. There should have been a hue and cry from every Democrat in Arizona.
I'm not sure I understand.
When PBS did this.
We've got 4 minutes left, I think. So, give it a shot.
David.
3 minutes left, we're told. So, what, David? Sum up what you think and what you think to be done. We've talked about facing the fact that we have to raise taxes to support education. People need childcare support, and so forth and so on. Give us your take on what's important now in the next year. Say something immediately that people can do. Is it a lot of voting out guys who are not going to support education or what?
I think that's part of it, but I think it becomes, before we get to the election next year, it is really starting to put pressure on these elected officials to let them know that they can't continue down this road that we've seen it at the federal level be successful in terms of, you know, all the rallies and different town halls and things that we saw at the federal level that really went a long ways towards blocking the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. And I think we need to continue to do that at the state level for some of these state policies and at least put these legislators on notice. And if they continue to do what they do, then I think enough people getting upset, we're going to see change eventually at the state.
We got a Democratic insider here. We want to know, how's it look? How's it look? I know you're a busy guy. You got a lot of things going on. You do wonderful social work. How's it looking for the day? Do we at least have 30 legislative districts in Arizona? Does the Democrats have candidates for all the offices?
They do, and I think I'm impressed by a lot of the candidates that we have running for state office.
Great.
You mentioned
Excellent.
Katie Hobbs. I think she's a great one, and others. And so I think, now it's just a matter of, like you said, we can't be soft about things. We have to really tell the voters like it is, and really be very strong when it comes to what we need to do to change this state.
Are you in a position to work for Katie? I mean, I know things get a little dicey if you work on a candidate's campaign.
Well, I can't work on campaigns in my position.
Okay.
But I would just tell you, Katie, she and I represent the same district in the legislature. She was my campaign treasurer for many years.
Oh,
and,
okay.
She's an excellent person.
But right. You're a nonpartisan partisan institute.
That's enough of a statement of support. Listen, we got to wrap this up. Democratic Perspective is we're on every Monday 8:15. We'll be on a Saturday as a 12:15 for a little while, and unless somebody wants to fund that one again, we'd like to stay on Saturdays. The show is run not on air, but it's run on money. So you can go to our website bvid.org. You can find all our old shows. You can make comments. You can find some wonderful synopsises. Please, folks, check out our website, bvid.org, and tune in next week. Democratic Perspective.
You've been
listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.